welcome to the second recorded game session of the Reckless Dice Podcast, a podcast for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 3rd Edition. I am your host, Jesse Gitzman-Burke, and I'll also be the GM for this session. And with me today on are our returning heroes, Seraphin, the Apprentice Wizard, played by Harry, Heinrich, the Apprentice Gold Wizard, played by Mark, and new to this adventure are Caster, the Soldier, played by Michael, Abrelard, the Mystic, played by Troy, and Ode, the Initiate of Ulrich, played by Aramis. We're beginning the Eye for an Eye adventure, which you can find in the core set and the Game Master's Guide. Welcome, everybody.
Let's hopefully.
Hello.
What's up?
Yo. All right, so let's pick up where we left off with our last two surviving adventurers from the Day Late and the Shilling Short, who were fleeing in the rain through the woods as the beastmen chased them back to the Ubersreich with their tails tucked beneath their legs.
you make it you sound so safely... heroic.
Oh, it was not a heroic ending to that adventure.
Sir Robin ran away.
So you guys make it back to Ubersreich without too much trouble. You know, you duck behind bushes. You after a while, though, you make it back to civilization. You get into town. You rest up. You make it back to the Red Moon Inn. When you make it back, Verun is no longer there. Essentially, any of your contacts from when you left off for that adventure are no longer found. You kind of settle back into your normal, boring life. You heal up. You're looking a lot better shape. Thankfully, you made it out without any critical wounds. But one day, you are walking through town, and you come across a note posted on a bulletin board. And since your coin purses are getting a little bit low, it says, "Looking for work? Resourceful and intrepid fellows required to assist in house move. Job involves discretion, danger, and some heavy lifting. Only honest applicants will be considered. No layabouts. Hired candidates will earn 6 shillings per day for their labor, plus any expenses incurred. Interested? Ask for Herr Hendrick at the Red Moon Inn in Ubersreich. Don't delay. Seek Herr Hendrick today."
What do you think about this job opportunity? I'm not really sure about the heavy lifting.
Well, go ahead and both you guys make an intelligence check or a folklore if you have it. There's something a little more to glean into this message than meets the eye right now. Let's see, you guys both succeed. You both notice right off the bat that the wages that are being offered, the 6 silver shillings per day, that is on the level of a skilled artisan being contracted for the day. This seems like he's paying a lot more than he should be paying for the kind of work that's being described here.
I don't know. This seems too good a deal.
Maybe he wants us to babysit a caravan.
You guys are good at
our
that.
Our last incident with a caravan went so well.
The caravan has to be moving in the first place.
Yes. Well, we're heading back. We're staying at the inn anyway. We might as well ask about.
Yes, I could definitely use a bath.
So Ode, Abrelard, and Castor, you guys have also seen a similar note and have decided to respond and are currently waiting at the Red Moon Inn. You've been there for the morning, waiting about. You've already inquired for Herr Hendrick, and he has not arrived yet, so you are waiting patiently for him to arrive. Heinrich and Seraphin, you guys arrive at the Red Moon Inn, and you see several... The inn's actually quite occupied. It's midday right now. There's several people sitting at the bar, a couple townsfolk, and then there's also a soldier, a mystic, and a initiate priest of Ulrich sitting at one large table. They seem to be waiting for somebody.
Well, when I see the soldier, I recognize him because we had a backstory going. But yes, I walk up to him and I'm like, "Caster, my old friend, how are you?"
"Oh, I'm doing well, Heinrich. Good to see you again."
"Yes.
How fare you these days?"
"Not so well. Have you heard what happened to Lysaris?"
No, I have not. What has happened?
We were going to help a caravan that was late. Beastmen ambushed us. He didn't make it.
My character.
I assure you.
Sorry to hear a loss of a good friend.
Yes.
I can assure you that he went out in the way that he would have wanted.
Knowing him, I'm sure he did.
In two.
My character, Ode, hears that and says, did he fight gloriously?
He did.
And praise be him in the afterlife.
So as you guys begin to talk, the door opens and a gentleman who is finely dressed, but he's also has some bandages wrapped around his hand and his shoulder. He walks in and goes over and talks to the innkeeper for a moment, and the innkeeper guides him over to a table behind a curtain in the far end of the room. Now I'll give you a quick description here of the Red Moon Inn, since we're all here now. The common room of the Red Moon Inn is smoky and dark, and smells sharply of a mixture of fish, smoke, and sour beer. The bar is little more than a plank, and the furnishings are shabby. Against one wall are a series of snug booths, many with curtains and tattered linen slung across them to offer some privacy. A scattering of candles and oil lamps light the room. Grimy windows offer very little illumination from inside. From outside.
Interesting place for such a meeting as this. I take it you all inquired about the note outside.
Yes.
Yes. It was a interesting deal.
Indeed. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Ode.
Well met, Ode. I am Heinrich Johansson of the Gold College. Which should be obvious because, out of character, I have, like, a gold mask on.
Intriguing.
And I am Seraphine Cola, a mage and apprentice of the Bright Order.
You're going to probably have to do a little investigation to figure out who he is.
I'll probably walk over to the tavern master and be like, greetings, good sir. I'm here to inquire about the note left by Herr Hendrik. Do you know
who... He perks up and recognizes the name instantly and says, that's him right over there. I just sat him down in the booth there. Is he expecting you?
I am a person who is inquiring about his note that he left on the board.
Oh, he nods, and he seems to have heard about that note already. Some other people have come by inquiring about it as well, but he didn't accept them for some reason. Let me go let him know that you're here, and I'll be right back. And he waddles over and talks to the man behind the curtain, and then a moment later comes back to you and says, "Please, this way. Come sit down."
Thank you, good sir. And I walk back over to him.
Okay, so everybody comes back and starts talking to Herr Hendrik.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Herr Hendrik is he's probably in his early 30s. He looks to be some type of servant, but a servant with in a position of power. He has a bandaged hand and also has several cuts on his arm. He explains that Lord Aschaffenburg, his master, is most concerned with the state of his new manor. He thinks there may be some kind of rebellion fermenting in the ranks of the staff, on the whole, a shiftless and uncooperative crew to a man. He wants to hire some people to look into this matter. Ostensibly, you, if you accept the job, will be there to help unload the Lord's coach and arrange his furniture. But really, you are there to covertly spy upon the staff, learn what you can of any insubordination, and report it to Lord Aschaffenburg. Now tell me, what are your qualifications to undergo such a mission?
I look at him and I say, I am quiet. And I am strong. What else is there to need?
Can you be discreet?
The only thing that I need that is never discreet is my hammer. My words, they are simple.
What about the rest of you?
I have served many years of labor in the colleges. I can perform simple tasks, and I can be discreet as well.
You see, there's many political ramifications if things go badly here for my lord, and I need to ensure that those who I send to the manor are capable of handling this without fail. What assurances can you give me that you can complete this task without trouble?
Any lies that are given to us will be seen right through. I have a not magical talent like my other two associates, but I have been able to read people, as it were.
And your investigative skills, are they up to par?
I believe they will fulfill the task.
So what have you noticed about me that you should know?
Your hand. It is cut. Can I make a first aid roll to see possibly what could have cut his hand and caused the cuts?
Sure. So the damage to his hand is wrapped in a bandage. You can't see that one, but you do see several minor cuts along his left arm, and you can analyze those.
Okay, first aid is intelligence.
So go ahead and make a one challenge die roll.
Okay, so it's 2 plus the skill die. I'm in a neutral stance right now. And the challenge die is the purple die, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, double checking. Ah, I don't know, it's Jack and Squat.
All right, so you begin looking at it. You can't quite tell the difference between these scratches and something biting him or not. It's really unclear. But he does notice you looking at his wounded arm and says, "That's right. There have been attacks at the manor, and they seem to have increased over the last couple of weeks as shortly after Aschaffenburg took over the manor. He's only been there for a short period of time, you see. And there are herds of beastmen on the move in the woods around the lodge. Last week, a band of creatures attacked the manor. They were repulsed by the guards, but a number of the staff were injured in the attack. We hit them harder than they hit us, but they may return if their nerve recovers. So you'll have to be careful."
I see. I am quite
skilled. It seems
skilled.
That there are multiple threats being posed against the Grinwald Lodge at the moment.
Inform your lord that I am most exceptional at dispatching beastmen who dare enter into civilized worlds. Ulrich protects and dispatches them.
He smiles and kind of crosses his arms and leans back in his chair and says, "I think this will work. I think I'm confident that this will work. Is the sum of 6 shillings per day per man acceptable?"
"Yes.
Most acceptable."
"Very well. We'll also cover any expenses you incur during your voyage. So please record them and let me know upon the completion of the mission. I have a coach prepared to leave for the lodge in the morning. We will, I trust we will meet you here outside the Red Moon Inn, and we will head out on our way."
"Agreed."
"Very well."
Okay. With that, he excuses himself and walks over to a man at the bar and says something to him, and the two of them leave together.
"Now, I must inquire about sleeping in the stables, for I have been a long travel, and I do not have a coin on me."
The innkeeper offers a stay in the common room for 5 brass coins, or you can have a private room for 1 silver.
Hmm.
And that includes meals for the day. It's a little afternoon, so you guys will have time to play around in Uber's Reich if you have any shopping or anything you'd like to take on before tomorrow morning. Once we're wrapped up there, we will move on to the next into the encounter in the morning.
I don't suppose any of you, more older gentlemen, have a way with words. I need some shopping to get done.
"Unfortunately, I do not travel often into the civilized world. I stay with the wolves, as Ulrich commands." And he points to the headdress that's on his head that's made of a wolf.
I am a capable wordsmith. What exactly do you need?
I need to sell this blunderbuss. I'm also lacking in coin, and as you can tell from my clothing, I am in desperate need of new garments. If you look
okay,
at
while you guys do that, I'm gonna look up the purchasing stuff. So you want to sell the blunderbuss?
Yes, I would.
Does anybody off the top of your head know what page that's on or what the price sheets are on?
70. I know it's around 77, page 77.
I think I just found it as I said it.
Yeah, I have it. Open.
100. Cool. I got it here. So you head out onto town, and there are several places that are willing to take the blunderbuss off your hand. Go ahead and make me a charm roll to try and get your blunderbuss sold for the highest price. It's a medium quality blunderbuss. It's got a few rounds of ammunition. It's been used, but it's very serviceable.
I look at Abelard, like, I'm not too good with words, but I can help you a little bit.
It is in your best interest to help if you want the best price.
Yes, I'm going to aid him.
Okay, so aiding him will give him an extra white die in his roll.
Okay, so I sort of need to know what I'm rolling because I don't have charm.
Charm, you will roll your statistic dice equal to your fellowship.
So then
you'll add one white die to for being aided, and then one purple die for kind of a base difficulty.
So the statistic dice are the blue ones?
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so you've succeeded with three boons. So you find a buyer. It's an old metalworking shop, and he actually is not so much interested in buying it off of you to resell, but more to provide some defense for himself on a rough night. If any, he'd like to keep his shop under improve the security of his shop, is kind of how he words it. He says he's willing to give you one gold piece for the blunderbuss. No questions asked. You didn't sell it to him.
I turn to Seraphine. Does this seem an acceptable price?
Maybe if you could throw in 15 more silver.
He looks back and he says, "Well, you know, I've only got one gold." He says, it's a take it or leave it deal. I think you, I'm pretty sure this wasn't your blunderbuss to begin with, was it?
I did find it, yes.
Then I won't ask any questions either.
Okay.
All right, well, he hands you a gold coin.
Let me get that chain.
And he guides you out of the building. And locks the door behind you.
I ask the tavern master if there's any menial tasks I can do to pay for, you know, a small
For lodging for the night?
Well, not so much lodging, so that I could have one meal. I actually to ask him if he does not mind me sleeping in his stables, but if there's any other tasks I could perform around.
He goes behind the desk and offers he pulls out a mop and a bucket and a large sponge and scrub brush and hands them to you and says give this place a good shine and I'll cover you for the night and give you common room lodgings and a meal.
He says, "I thank you, good sir," and then proceeds to clean the place as best as he can.
Scrub. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and give me a. Let's see. What would we call that? That could be some fun stuff here. What kind of check could we do for a
cleaning roll
for this? Yeah, a good old cleaning roll. Any suggestions? What stat would that be?
Intelligence, observation, maybe.
Should be athletics.
Let's do a roll. Which one?
Athletics.
Athletics. Sure. Make an athletics roll.
Okay. I don't have it trained, but I do have strength.
With one difficulty.
I do have strength. 2, 4. One difficulty. Hey, two successes and a boon.
All right, so a couple hours later, you've finished up. The place is looking pretty good, a considerable improvement from what it was before. You've even managed to scrape a large amount of the grime off the windows, and the place looks a lot brighter now, too. It's actually a considerable improvement. Excuse me, a considerable improvement. He happily gives you the... He points out a spot where you can sleep for the evening in the common room and says the dinner will be served at 6, and he thanks you very much for your work.
He then thanks him as well and says... And then goes off and sits down and just waits for dinner.
All right. Anything anybody wants to do before before the evening comes around?
Nothing springs to mind. I'll purchase a private room and just catch up with Caster, I guess, if Mike thinks that's something his character
that's fine.
Would do.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead and deduct 1 silver from anybody who's going to be staying in their own room for the evening. And then 5 brass for anybody who's going to be staying in the common room. The following morning rolls around without event. You guys wake up to the smell of fish stew, some warm, kind of musty bread, and you come down and have a quick meal. And outside, through the newly cleaned windows, you guys can already see a large black coach outside, loaded up with luggage and boxes, and you think you even see through the windows Herr Hendrik and the man he was talking to walking around the coach outside.
I actually wanted to buy a few things yesterday, if that's okay with you.
Sure, what's up? Well, we're already in the morning. Let's see if you can buy them now. What did you want to get?
I wanted to buy some clothes, a leather backpack, a small tent, blanket, like a bedroll.
Mm-hmm.
And just some better clothes, like some nicer robes, some more comfortable robes.
Sure. Let's see here. Your...
And some food. A little bit of dried food.
Let's see, weapons, ammunition. Okay, yes. Yeah, so you get some nice... for 30 brass... Well, yes, you wanted robes, right? Some nice robes? Okay, so for 10 silver, you find some nice robes, and those also provide you 1 defense. And let's see, you said you wanted to buy some more, you wanted camping equipment, you wanted, a tent, a basic tent is going to cost you 2 silver. What else did you want, a backpack?
And some food. Water skin, and a bedroll.
Okay, all of that together is going to cost you about 30 silver.
That's okay.
Okay, so we're square there?
Yeah.
All right, super. All right, so you guys head outside, and you see the large black coach pulled by 2 horses. You see a man up on top of the coach, who was the man you recognized from the bar. He is preparing to drive the coach. And next to him is Vern Hendrik, who's sitting next to him. Vern looks down to you and says, "Oh, good, you're right on time. Are you ready to leave?"
I am.
Yes.
Not my
head. Okay. He indicates, "Okay, go ahead and hop on." And as you look at the coach, you notice that the coach's entire interior is filled with boxes and bolts of cloth and crates. And even a large portion of the back storage compartment and the roof are heavily packed with boxes as well.
Intriguing.
He says, "Well, you'll just have to climb on top of the boxes. We'll don't fall off, okay?"
I nod.
We've got a lot of stuff to bring.
I nod and climb on top.
I climb up.
So the journey from Uber's Reich is long, uncomfortable, and more than a little boring. The road takes you through the fertile foothills of the Vorbergland and through the village of Geisbach. The weather is sunny and warm, the road is dry, and you make good time. Herr Hendrik spends most of the journey complaining about the remoteness of the Grunwald Lodge, the deficiencies of rural folk, and the pain of his injury. Okay, you guys make a quick stop in Geisbach, which if there's anything left that you'd like to do, otherwise he encourages us to make good time and continue on to Grinrald Lodge.
While they're making the stop, I mostly just get down and kind of hold a kind of a watchman's stare on the cart, making sure that nobody gets too close to it. I kind of do the whole I'm a bouncer thing.
Cool. Excellent. All right. So you guys learn that Heiko Dieter is the driver, and he hops down and he goes and gets some feed for from one of the containers for the horses and kind of lets them rest for a little bit. Shortly after that, he hops back up on the carriage and says, "Are everybody ready to go?"
Yes.
We should make it there before nightfall. No problem. And you guys head out. Now, after leaving Geisbach, the road enters the Reichwald Forest, and the gray mountains to the south disappear beyond the dark forest canopy. As the gloom deepens, Herr Hendrik ceases his complaints and indeed stops talking altogether. His eyes dart all around, and he's startled at the slightest rustling of leaves or cry of a woodland creature.
What's the matter, Sir Hendrik? Seem a little bit...
He, as soon as you talk to him, he kind of jumps a little bit and turns around and says, "Nothing," and you notice he's kind of rubbing his hand. And he says, I don't like being out in the forest. It brings back bad memories.
Since he told me that he was attacked by beastmen and stuff, I would say, "Fear not. My hammer will destroy any heads of anything that gets too close to you, good sir."
He kind of nods, but you can tell he doesn't really believe you, but he wants to. Then you hear a snap out in the forest of some twigs, and he kind of his eyes bolt over there, and he looks nervous again. And why don't anybody who's up on top go ahead and make an observation check?
I'm on top.
That's intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one difficulty.
Okay, let me make a check.
Okay. And, you know, while we're doing this, actually, I'm going to move everybody up to the other section.
No, I didn't get anything.
Okay, you guys look out into the forest, and you don't happen to see anything, but you certainly suspect there's something out in the woods, maybe a boar or some birds. Okay, so you guys see the road. You guys see your tokens. And we got everybody on it. Let's go ahead and place everybody on top.
I may be young and restless, but I got a bad feeling about this.
Okay, so we are going to cruise on down the... you always know it's a bad time when somebody puts you on a specific map, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so the cart, go ahead, it moves along down the road, and you guys make, occasionally you'll hear more rustling in the bushes, but Herr Hendrik seems particularly nervous right now. I'm going to lock you guys on my view for a little bit.
I think perhaps we should have asked him for an advance payment.
And the cart continues along its path. And so as I do this, you guys are being pulled to my view, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and make a willpower check.
Okay.
To see if I don't become rattled by his rattling. And I'm also going to use my talent unbreakable. That's it. As well, so I get to add... What do I add? If I had the right document up. Give me a second and I'll make that roll.
Sure. So right around here, you guys hear a horn blast.
Unshakable.
I go white.
Oh,
is
determined.
That what I think it is, Heinrich?
I believe so.
And you hear a lot of rustling coming from your north and also from your southwest.
Abelard, are you here with us?
Can I start channeling?
You may. Everybody is currently on top of the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm grabbing the sword. I'm grabbing my maul at the time.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and add everybody to initiative now.
Okay.
My character is grabbing his maul. He's a little rattled.
So you guys will have lost your ability to move at the moment. So hang on.
Okay. So we know this is coming, so I'm drawing my bow and knocking an arrow.
Okay. Air Hendrik and looks over at Heiko Dieter and says, "Are we close? How far away? Can we make it to the lodge?" And he says, "Well, it's just around the bend up to the up ahead of us, but I don't know. I don't know how many are coming at us yet." And he kind of like slaps the reins on the horse, and the horses rear up and begin running forward, pulling the carriage along the road.
May I cast a spell on myself?
Sure.
All right.
Actually, you know what? Hold up. We are in initiative now, so let's That's fine.
He was channeling.
Okay, so this guy emerges from the south. I'm gonna unlock my. I'm gonna unlock the player movement now, so you guys don't have to have that.
What does this do more common?
You get a.
That's a critical success. So it's like a critical hit. You have a couple things that could happen. It can count as a hammer, or it may trigger an effect on one of your spell cards.
I see.
So you can look on your spell card on the results and look down and see if there's a Sigmar's Comet, and it may give you a huge extra benefit.
There is not. But,
okay, then in that case it counts as a success, or I don't even know what the spell is yet, so I can't really give you a narrative on it.
It's Fiery Passion.
What does that do?
Whenever I cast anything I do while reckless is an extra fortune die.
Okay. Cool. So you. Oh, that's right. That's where you start glowing with fire. A beastman Gore bursts out of the bushes in front of you on the road. Meanwhile, Heiko Dieter he continues driving the coach, and Vern Hendrik pulls out a small dagger from his belt loop, and looks determined to fight, but looks like he is in no shape to actually do it. He looks quite nervous.
GM,
following that.
How close to the Gore Warrior is the cart assuming to go? Could I judge that? How close that Gore Warrior is going to get to the cart?
How close he's going to get? He looks like he bursts out of the woods, and he is now kind of scanning the road for a target. And he's very easily found the coach. And he's carrying a large two-handed axe, and he's going to he looks intent on charging at you.
Okay, if it veers out of the way, I'm going to attempt to, on the cart, swing down like I was playing like water polo or something. I'm going to use him as a water polo in my hammer.
Well, let's see who's up. We've got Abelard is first.
Okay, and then in the future, I have a focus called Foresight. I'm not sure if it comes into play. It says if I get a boon, I'll add success on initiative.
I'm sorry, you get a, if you roll a boon on initiative, it adds in success. Okay. And so let's see what your roll was. That'll probably kick you up a couple on the, Abelard, you did generate one boon, so you go up to two. You're right.
I should have mentioned it, but I looked
at that. No, that's cool. Yep, you got knocked, actually, you're still in a similar spot on initiative. Okay, so it is your turn, Abelard.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and pull out my crossbow. As a maneuver, and I guess I'll fire it.
Okay, and who are you going to target?
Number 84.
Okay, the Ungor. Okay, cool. The Ungor warrior to the left of the cart.
Do we actually roll initiative, or?
No, he's already.
No, I already rolled everybody.
Okay, alright, cool.
If you pull up your initiative panel by going to Window and Initiative, it'll display the turn sequence.
Yeah, I'm next on the init board.
Okay, so I've got a 3 agility, so that's 3 dice. And what else am I adding?
Let's see, you're going to convert one for... Or you're in a neutral stance still, so you will not use any of your red or green dice unless you want to move one step into reckless or conservative.
I would like to move one into reckless.
Okay, so let's go ahead and pop you one into reckless. So you're going to roll your characteristic dice equal to your agility, and then swap one of those dice for a red one. And then you are attacking the gore, who is very close to you. So that'll be challenge die, and then it will be two misfortune dice, which are the black ones, because you're on a moving coach and you're hitting a moving target.
Okay.
All right, you fire off the crossbow over Vern Hendrick's shoulder, and you manage to plow that bolt straight through its chest with a solid success. You also, at the same time, though, have managed to exhaust yourself slightly, so you'll suffer one fatigue point. So you now have two hammers that you can apply towards your attack. So if you look at your action card, which for your ranged attack, does two hammers provide you any additional benefits?
I do not have that card for crossbow, so.
It's called range shot. Two things does.
He needs three, I think, right? Three hammers are what get
three
him.
Three hammers
get him
plus two damage.
Yep.
Okay, so you'll do your agility plus your weapon damage. Your weapon damage is six?
Yes.
Okay, so your agility is three, so you do 9 points of damage to him. His soak value is one, so he'll take 8 points of damage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He looks severely crippled, but he's still coming at you. Okay, next up is Ode. You're up.
I am actually going to wait for one of them to get extremely close to the to the cart, and in which I can hit him in the head with my hammer. So
you're doing like a hold action.
Yeah, I'm holding action until
preparing your attack.
So, preparing the attack.
Well, technically the rules are we can switch initiatives with each other. So
yeah, I think I'm just gonna wing that one and say that he when the next creature comes up into base to base contact there, he's gonna get to strike first.
Okay.
That way we keep the keep the confusion level down.
Yeah.
Seraphim, you're up.
I will channel a spell. I will channel in order to gain power.
Super.
And move one step closer to recklessness.
Okay.
Okay.
Alright, go ahead and generate your dice pool. All right, you've succeeded with five. Holy cow, you have exhausted yourself, though.
And then he recovered itself, too.
And it did recover itself. Good call. Thank you.
So, okay, let me see. I got four hammers, so that means...
I think I actually got five hammers.
Five hammers.
Yeah, check the net results, the gray area.
One, two.
That means if three successes gain six power, what do five successes do?
Nothing.
I think you kind of cap out there.
Yeah.
So you gain the was it five power you said?
But if you generate a boon, you also get an extra power. So
I gain eight power.
Okay, eight power.
Yeah.
That's going to be in addition to your current of five.
Current of three.
Three. Why do you only have three? Oh, because you spent some last time.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so what's your total power right now?
11. But I'm going to cast.
Okay, so you are you have entered the danger zone.
I will make a reference.
Excess power. Oh, actually, you know what? Just by entering the overpowered state, I think you have to actually make a test. You essentially have channeled and have taken on too much energy, more than your body is capable of handling, because your power is greater than 2 times your willpower. You must spend a maneuver or suffer a stress to maintain this safety level beyond your threshold.
And what's that test?
You just have to either spend a maneuver or suffer a stress.
Oh, I'll spend essentially a maneuver. I won't be moved.
So do you still have a maneuver? Okay, good. So you that's all you have to do. You're good now.
I will attack Gore Warrior 52 with a.
Okay, and just for reference, if you're incapable of spending that maneuver or the stress, that magical energy will just vent right out of you and actually cause a substantial amount of stress and potentially damage to you.
Ooh.
Okay, so you're doing the quick casting. You're going to cast it on who?
Gore Warrior 52.
Okay.
Flame Blast, which I succeeded on with 1 success and 3 booms.
Perfect. All right. And the so how much damage is that going to do?
Ten plus one critical.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's go ahead and do the 10 first. Well, we'll do the critical first. Those are fun. Let's see here. He takes, he suffers a concussion and suffers a wound from that, and then takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wounds in addition. So he is in really bad shape as well. He is like a gore with no hair left on him. He's like a big pink and red monster with an axe. He bounces around and runs in circles for a moment as he smolders.
It's supposed to be one more damage because I actually got 3 successes. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, then in that case, what does he have? He has 12 wounds. Oh, he must be right at his threshold right now. Yeah, okay. He's in terrible shape. And he howls and screams, and it's just this horrible, horrible sight. All right, next up is Heinrich.
All right. I'm going to shift 1 towards Reckless.
Mm-hmm.
I am. All right. And I'm going to launch a magic dart. So basically, a silver arrow at Ungar Warrior 50. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to scream for Lusaris.
Yeah, Seraphine basically just stood up and unleashed both her hands into a huge flame blast in that Gore Warrior in front of her.
And it's a challenge. It's an attack, right?
Correct.
All right. There it is.
All right, success. Major success, too. 4 hammers, and you're exhausted slightly.
All right.
Suffer 1 stress.
So it's 3 plus intelligence damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes it how much?
8.
So that's 7 after a soak. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, man, they're in horrible shape. All right. You guys just, they hop out of the woods, and you just destroy them.
Haven't made a kill yet, though.
They're upset from last combat, they add. Where they almost get completely wiped out. Now they're going for the kill zones.
All right. Caster, you're up.
Okay. I am going to...
Caster, since you're on the back of the cart, go ahead and make an observation check.
Okay. Intelligence. Okay.
You think you hear something and see something further down the road the way you guys came.
Okay. For untrained dice, what do you roll?
If you're untrained, you just don't add the yellow.
Okay, don't add the yellow. So what's the normal die we roll again? I forgot.
It's going to be your observation, so it's going to be your blue dice.
Blue dice?
Intelligence rolls. Uh-huh.
With a 1 challenge.
Okay. So I roll 3 intelligence then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 1 purple.
What's the purple for?
That's
just for the kind of base difficulty.
Okay.
It's the bad thing.
So you notice that a small group of Gore and Ungor are moving up the road from the south, the way that you guys came, kind of pushing you further on, covering your retreat.
Okay.
Okay, now it's your turn for the action to maneuver.
All right, so they are cutting off our escape from the rear.
If you pan down to the southwest, you'll see them.
Yeah, they're just possibly in your line of sight. You could possibly hit them, but they're quite a distance away.
They're in your line of sight. You can see them, but they're obscured by some trees and bushes.
Yeah, they're about 115 away from you. That's for the closest one. I don't want to select you.
And they're just trying to cut off our rear escape?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or, well, it appears so. They're moving up the road behind you.
Moving up the road. All right. And what's the longbow's range?
The longbow's range would be, is it very long or is it long?
A longbow can actually fire up to extreme if you take an extra challenge.
Okay.
So
up to 120 if you take the extra challenge die.
And if I don't?
Then you can't fire that far.
Okay.
Pack one of the one zeros.
Yeah, I'll probably do that then.
Man, I'm just holding action. I want to play golf.
Like polo?
Yeah. What's that game? Croquet. I'm going to play croquet with their heads. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Caster, what's the plan?
I'm going to shoot 84, most likely.
Ungar Warrior 84? Yep. Okay. So go ahead and make a agility check. And then you'll also add two challenge dice. I'm sorry, one challenge dice and two misfortune dice. So one purple, two black.
And if I have the ballistics...
As you're firing from the... Oh, then you'll also add a yellow.
Also add a yellow for ballistics. Okay.
Being trained in it. Mm-hmm.
And then my agility is three.
So...
Yeah. Three blue, one yellow, two black, and a purple.
Okay.
Unless you want to go into either reckless or conservative, then... It'd be two blue and one or the other.
You barely hit him, but you clip him in the shoulder, which is just enough to topple him down onto the ground, and he lies still in a pile of dirt. His spear falls to the ground.
Okay.
All right, and lastly, another Gore bursts out right behind him from the bushes and continues approaching, and we are on to round two.
Okay.
This guy, let's see, he's on the road now, so he's booking it. The wounded Gore is going to, in a frenzy, throws himself at one of the horses and attempts to smash it with his giant axe.
Okay.
And he hits it, and he hits it hard. And the horse looks severely wounded, but meanwhile he gets trampled underneath the power of the two horses pulling the giant, fully laden cart, and suffers another wound. One of the horses, though, is pretty badly wounded. Okay, now we are going to move the cart because, let's see, we get another 60. The cart continues on. And let's see here, let's set its facing a little better. Alrighty, and then Vern Hendrick is encouraging Heiko to drive faster, we're almost there! And he starts yelling out into the distance, "We're coming, we're almost there! Open the gates! We're under attack!" And then Gore Warrior number 88, down at the bottom, is casually running up behind you guys. And Gore Warrior 50 is going to attempt to jump and stab at somebody on the side of the cart. So why don't you hop in here, Ode?
Okay.
And Polo his head.
I'm just going to make a basic melee attack. How many misfortune die would it be adding to this? Two?
One for moving and one for hitting a moving... One for being on a moving platform and one for him being a moving character. So two misfortune and one challenge.
Okay. And I am still in a neutral stance. Okay.
All right, you hit him really hard. His head just splatters into a big pink mist of chunk and gore, and he collapses and tumbles onto the ground as the carriage rolls over part of him. And Aberlard, you're up.
At which point, after I smash him, I turn to Herr Heinrich and I say, "See, hammer smash hard."
Herr Heinrich says, "Yes, yes, I see. We're not there yet. Come on." He like pats Hiko on the shoulder again. "Hurry, hurry, hurry."
I'll go ahead and use a maneuver to reload the crossbow.
Okay.
But believe they're too far away or behind cover for me to fire, so I don't have a clear shot.
Mm-hmm. So following that, the carriage continues to, now that it seems to be outrunning the gore, comes up and begins to round the bend. And let me change its facing here again. And below, you guys can now see the beginnings of the Grunwald Lodge. And up ahead, you can see a large walled palisade. And let's see. Finally, the wagon enters a large clearing in the forest, dominated by a collection of buildings protected by a 12-foot-high, ivory-covered stone wall. Parts of the wall have collapsed and are reinforced with crude barricades. A guard in a mail shirt and a pot helmet and wielding a crossbow patrols the top of the wall. The wall is surrounded by a wide, overgrown ditch. A small gatehouse with a crumbling, turreted tower built of dark stone protects the entrance. Another guard, similarly armed and armored, stands alert on the turret of the tower. So you see these two guys, and the gate is currently closed. And the gore, you see the gore kind of, or you hear the gore, rather, running up to you from behind. All right, as you guys move a little closer to the gate, the gore are approaching, but not quite. There, okay. And Herr Heinrich yells out, "Open the gates, damn you, open the gates!" And the carriage is forced to come to a screeching halt at the in front of the gates as the gates remain closed. And the guards look they look nervous up on the there's two behind the portcullis in front of you, and there's a couple up on the walls. And the Aldrich Blucher, who's the captain of the guard, he's standing there behind the portcullis, says, "We're not opening that thing until those beastmen are gone."
As soon as I hear that, and I turn around and I shift the hammer into a state and said, and I kind of take a stance of readiness, I say, "Consider them gone."
I'm going to start shouting to them, like, "Well, we'll fight them near the gate if you can help cover us with your crossbows, that'd be helpful."
He says, "Once they come into range, we'll participate in the attack, of course." Okay. Heinrich and Dieter goes and sits in the driver's seat still, but Heinrich hops off, and he begins debating with the guard, the captain of the guard, trying to get him to open up the gates. And he seems furious that they're not being let in. And he says, "Do you know who I am? Aschaffenburg will have you hung for this." And the guard, he seems nervous, but he's standing resolute and not changing his mind. So meanwhile, behind you, suddenly a guttural howl rises from the forest around you. Several misshapen humanoid forms emerge from the undergrowth, dropping from the boughs of trees and bursting from behind scrub. They have twisted cloven hooves and bestial faces, patches of mangy fur on their bodies, and the nubs of stunted horns on their heads. Between them strides a larger, more powerful form with the head of a ram and proud, curling horns. The creature bears blood-stained fangs and howls at a challenge. At this, the beastmen leap to attack. The remaining beastmen appear from around the corner and begin charging at you.
Right.
So it is currently, let's do beastman 30 or 76's turn. He charges up. Oops, let's see. Hang on, I got to cruise back around here. Gore 88 is his turn. He just went. So Abelard, you're up.
Okay.
Let me reposition you guys on the thing here too, because it looked like we got a little as I rotated the cart, everybody kind of got flipped around.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I think we're something like this.
Yeah, something like that. That works.
All right, go for it.
I love how the two mages are in the front.
Well, you guys were in the back, but now the beastmen are behind you.
Well, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and try to fire at number 76. I recharged the last round, or not recharged, reloaded the crossbow.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to add a few of the guards to the initiative. Okay.
So, let's see. I've got an agility of 3, but I'm going reckless, so that's 2 and then 1. Believe that's it. And what's the challenge?
Yep, and you're no longer on a moving cart, so you're really now just having the one challenge die.
Okay.
Success with a 3, and you've exhausted yourself slightly. All right, and then what's the damage for that?
6.
6 minus 1, so 5.
I had a
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it is Ode.
Okay,
the warrior initiative, Ulrich.
I will actually get in front of the group and actually kind of hold my ground between Gore. Well, actually, yeah, I'm going to hold my ground between Ungor Warrior 76 and the group, and I'm actually going to take a swing at him.
Okay, so you do kind of a leap off of the cart. Go ahead and give me either an acrobatics check or something like that to kind of do a leaping charge at him.
Okay, I'll just make a standard agility check here. Let's
see. Or you can fold it all into your roll if you don't want to do two separate rolls, and we can just add a little difficulty to your attack roll.
Yeah, we'll do it that way. So that's...
Okay, that might be more fun. So go ahead and do two challenge dice and one misfortune die for your attempt to leap at him.
Oh, that was weird. Two challenge die, one misfortune, and I would just add both my strength and agility together.
No, it'll be a, let's say it's an attack roll, but if you have acrobatics trained, you can add that as a benefit.
Oh, okay, I do not, so it'll just be a regular standard 3, and then we will roll it. This might be bad. Yeah.
And a chaos star. Uh-oh. Okay, so you leap off, hammer in hand, to smash the Ungar warrior below you, similar to what happened last time. Unfortunately, you've missed your attack and end up stumbling and falling onto the ground face first beyond him as you trip and fall. You suffer a wound and you're also prone on the ground.
Okay. That's acceptable.
Seraphine, you're up. You're sitting on the back of the... on the back of the cart facing the oncoming horde.
I am going to put my hands together and unleash a flame blast right directly in front of me at the Gore Warrior 88.
Gore Warrior 88, all right.
I'm going to shift.
Go ahead and roll it up.
Okay. I'm going to shift one more to Reckless.
All right, Oh, wow. Dan, you guys are unstoppable. All right, so 5 successes, 3 boons, and you've exhausted yourself again. Man, you're going to be tired, though, when you're done.
I recovered.
You did recover one as well. You're right. All right, so how'd the effect go?
So let me see. 5 successes. With the boons, do they stack on the card? Like, if I get 3 eagles, does that have +3 damage, or is it only +1 damage? You can only count it one time.
No, you can't do, like, one boon gets +1 damage each time. You can activate each of the powers on there once.
So you can't activate it more than once?
Right, so for example, if something is one hammer, you can't, and you have 5 hammers, you can't activate that same one 5 times.
So if I have, activate the 2 eagle one, do I have to get 2 eagles on the same dice?
No, just as a net result. But you are planning on using 2 of those eagles to recover a stress point. So you have 1 left over unless you want to activate something on your card instead of that.
Oh, okay. Then I just do I do 12 damage.
12 damage. Oh, my God. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He looks to be absolutely on fire and like a big cooked goat.
Yeah, I got 3 hammers, so that was 6 plus int, plus 1 more damage from the extra eagle.
Wowzers. All right, and then next up is Heinrich.
I am completely out of power, though, right now.
Oh, hold on. Something happens when you're at 0.
Oh.
At 0 power, you, my friend, 0 power. If power loss is forced, make a discipline check. With a purple equal to the number of power he is unable to lose. So no purples, since you're at 0, right? You're not below 0.
No, I'm at 0.
Okay. Okay, so make a discipline check with no purple. Okay, you succeeded. Success, you suffer 1 stress. Failure is a whole lot worse. Okay, so you suffer a stress point, and next turn you will begin moving back towards equilibrium.
Okay.
All right, Heinrich, you're up.
Sorry, I was muted. I'm going to fire a dart at...
We're getting some major humming coming from you.
I'm going to fire a dart at Ungor Warrior 76 to try and help Ode. And that's 3 plus int damage.
Okay. So and what is that? What's your intelligence?
It's my intelligence is 5. So it's an 8 total.
Okay. 8. Thanks. Yeah, that helps. I don't... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And he is dead. You blast that dart. You get a sickening blow, constant pain, worrisome blow, and a mangled limb on him. And he is a crippled mass of goo on the dirt. All right. Next up is Ungor Warrior number 98. He is going to run down and spear in hand and thrust it into Ode's back. All right, so he's going to take a strength of 4. So he's going to 1, 2, 3, 4. He's going to take a fortune die for you being on the ground and a roll. All right, he hits you with 1 success and 1 boon. You suffer 4 8 damage. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have added another, because of your armor, another defense. Let me re-roll that. He still hit you.
Okay.
But he also generated a chaos star. So he hits you, and he is so excited that he is actually ignoring everybody else around you, and he is just kind of dancing around the wound that he's just caused you, leaving himself exposed. But you suffer 4 points of damage. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. No.
And then next up is Ungor 46, who is going to charge down and do the same thing, and they're both just picketing you with their... with their spears.
That's fine. I have some fun planned for them.
He also succeeds. He'll take another 4 points. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oops, not him. 1, 2, 3, 4. You take 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then next up is... Oops. Oh, criminy. What did I do? There we go. Peter Koch. He is behind the portcullis, and he is holding a crossbow. And he is really unable to see anybody right now. Let me see if he can see that gore over there. He is going to make an attempt to shoot at... No, his line of sight is blocked, so he is not going to do anything right now. Anders Blücher, the captain of the guard, continues to argue with Vern Hendrick over whether or not to open the portcullis during the battle. And from up on the battlements off to the east, the right-hand side, you see an arrow, a crossbow bolt, fly out across the battlefield, and let's see if it hits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It misses its target, but it looks like it was aiming for Ungor Warrior 35. Caster Albrecht, you're up.
Okay. So I can do a maneuver and then shoot, or no?
Yep, you can do a maneuver and an action in each turn, and you can gain additional maneuvers in a turn by suffering one fatigue for each additional one you take.
I'm just reloading and shooting.
Okay. And who's your target going to be?
98, Ungor Warrior 98.
Okay.
So, how am I taking any misfortune die?
No, there will not be any. And actually, you can go ahead and take a fortune die because they are there's several Ungor ganged up right there. You're likely to hit something.
And what's a fortune die? Green, red.
Drinking a potion would count as a maneuver.
It's white, like.
It's white. Okay. Thank you. And was there any challenge die involved?
Yeah, they'll be just the one. Yeah, every attack roll is going to have one challenge die as its kind of starting point. All right, you have failed to hit with no anythings. What? You've got no successes, no boons. Everything canceled each other out. So you're... Oh, that was something I rolled. I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong result. My bad. Success with two boons as well.
All right. So
two boons lets you do a free maneuver. So.
Oh, cool. So you can reload again immediately after that.
Yep, that's what I'll do then.
Or move.
No, I'll stay where I'm at and reload again.
Okay, sounds good. Then you attacked 80, yes. 98. Okay, and how much damage do you do?
I do 5, and then strength doesn't add into that, correct?
Agility would add into your ranged attack.
And then is it for every success it gets a bonus or something like that, or?
Your ranged attack card would indicate, but I think you're with only one hammer. Yeah. That you're just going to have the standard damage. So 8, which equates to 7 after a soak.
You would just do regular damage with that.
Okay. Sounds good. Cards
up. All right. And then next up is Ungor Warrior 35, who's up here. He is going to run down the road and do attempt a leaping attack at Seraphine Kohler with his spear. So he will see. Seraphine has one defense, so it's going to be 2 of those, 3, 4 of those, and it's going to be difficult because you have an elevated position, Seraphine, so he's taking an extra misfortune on that roll. And he fails to hit you. He begins jumping up and stabbing at you, but misses. Then next up is the dead Ungor warrior, Heiko Dieter. He is going to stand up and hop down off of the carriage, and he draws his sword and charges into combat with Ungor Warrior 35. Let's see, so he is going to be 1, 2, 3, 1, roll. He fails to hit him, though. They exchange a few blows. Vern Hendrick continues to argue with Andreas Blücher, the captain of the guard. And the Gore warrior, who was just recently mangled, looks like he's contemplating whether or not it wants to continue the fight. And it's standing, kind of taking a step forward, then takes a step back. It doesn't seem to be doing anything. Abelard, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and, seeing as how number 35 is actually awfully close, I'm going to go ahead and just flink an arrow into that one, or bolt.
Okay, cool. Just go ahead and take one fortune die for being on an elevated position above him.
Okay, and then no purple?
They'll always, yeah, one purple as a base.
Okay.
All right, that's a hit. With one exhaustion.
So that is my third fatigue now, which maxes my agility.
Yep, you'll notice now on your token, you're on the bottom left-hand side, you're now suffering from your fatigue. Every physical roll you do until that's recovered will add one black die to any rolls you do.
So that is three, and then six, so nine.
9 points minus one, so that's eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
And I will then reload as my maneuver.
Okay. For every point above your toughness, you take penalties. Only on physical stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So next up is Ode. Who you are now currently lying on the ground. So you'll need to spend at least one maneuver to get yourself uprighted.
One maneuver to upright myself. I'm going to then mm-hmm. take as a point of fatigue. I'm going to take mm-hmm. a point of fatigue and down. I have one healing draught. I'm going to down the healing draught. You already did my fatigue. So I'm going to down the healing draught, which I don't know what page that's on for the healing draught rules.
What you do, it's three white dice. And for every hammer you roll, is it three or is it four?
It's four.
It's four, because a good quality one is five and a poor quality is three. So roll four, and every hammer you roll will recover a wound.
Four, roll. So I recover two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I'm going to look at Ungar 46, and I'm going to be quite upset with him. I'm not, because he is there, and I'm going to actually perform mm-hmm. a thunderous blow action. It's got a recharge of three. Since I haven't used it, I'm good to go with that. So
okay.
One, two, three, four, one. And then one challenge die. Do you want me to add any misfortune dice or anything like that?
Add one misfortune because you're outnumbered.
One misfortune because I'm outnumbered. And
1 second. I'm going to go ahead and activate my Mystic's ability. I'll spend one fortune point and give Ode one fate point. One fate. Perfect.
I'm sorry, one
I
what?
Can spend one fortune point to give an ally a one fortune die on his roll.
Okay, so add one more white to your roll.
One white, so here we go. Suck not. Ouch. Three successes.
Indeed, three successes.
Okay, so three successes equals normal damage, and he suffers two critical wounds.
Holy smokes. Let's find out what those are first here. He suffers from an exhausting blow and a minor nuisance, totaling for four additional wounds. And how much was it in addition
to
that?
My normal is strength is four. My weapon does seven, so 11 on top of that. Minus his armor, minus his soak, of course.
All right, you obliterate him into the next generation. And he's got broken bones, chunks of gore go flying all over the place, chunks of Ungor, rather. And he is no longer in this world. He's a big pile of goo. The gore and the two remaining Ungor look a little hesitant to keep up the fight, and the gore actually pulls out a horn and makes a makes an erratic blasting sound out of it, and begins kind of backpedaling and running out into the woods nearby.
After I finish making him squishy, I pull the hammer up, wrench it a little with my fists, and just look around at me, and kind of that "who wants some" look.
The three remaining, or the two remaining Ungor and the one remaining Gore, begin fleeing off into the woods. And they are, unless you are going to pursue them, they...
I was going to roast one.
What's that?
It's okay.
Okay. All right, so we'll do a quick rally step here, which is at the end of the action. So everybody can recover. I should probably look up what the rally step does, because I do that one poorly all the time. I think everybody recovers one fatigue, one stress, and everybody removes a action marker, or a recharge marker.
Rally step. All participants in the encounter move their stance one towards neutral, remove one recharge token from each of their recharging cards, recover one stress and one fatigue, check and adjust their power / favor. Each character may choose one of the following: perform one maneuver, perform a first aid check, attempt an easy resilience check to recover fatigue, attempt an easy discipline check to recover stress, reroll initiative for the party's lowest initiative token, perform an action with the rally trait.
Okay. So I just dropped everybody's fatigue and stress by one. If anybody would like to use to recover additional fatigue or stress, you're welcome to do so by doing a resilience check.
I'm good. Yeah, I only had the one on me.
I think everybody's in pretty decent shape now, except for Abelard has two fatigue still.
At the end of his encounter. End of encounter, you recover a number of fatigue equal to your toughness and a number of stress equal to your willpower.
Well,
the encounter hasn't necessarily ended, but
and it said end of an episode. So an episode is probably more like a
three encounters.
An episode or
usually, Yeah. This session we're running right now we're going to go till the end of the first chapter, which we're getting close to. And then that's essentially an episode. This adventure, I think, is three chapters. After the gore retreat, Andreas Blitcher steps aside and gives, Peter Koch the order to raise the gates, and, Vern Hendrick comes back and, gets back on top of the cart, and, Hiko Dieter, gets back in the driver's seat, and they then begin driving on through.
Yay, I squishied something real bad.
And you guys then enter into the lodge. Let me give you a quick description of the outer area. Let's see here. Dormitories, the space. Well, you're inside the walled city now. To your immediately to your left, as we come in, is the stables where the coach stops, and everybody begins to dismount. Heiko Dieter pulls the horses off to the side and begins unloading the luggage here. Vern Hendrick dismounts and asks you guys to follow him to the manor, which is to the south. Off to the southwest, you guys hear a lot of barking from dogs and hounds. You also see, in general, the lodge is in pretty poor shape. It appears to be a bit run down. It doesn't look like any of the gardeners are really doing their work. The food and crops and the trees don't seem like they're watered very well. But all in all, the place seems to be in reasonable shape structurally. Okay, so once you guys follow Vern on down, we're going to go to the front. You see a large man at the base of the steps come out to meet you, and Ah, finally, my luggage arrives. A spot of excitement there outside the gates. What, what? Anyone hurt? No? Then, will you stout fellows help shift the blessed things? Good, good. A house isn't a home without one's belongings. This way, gentlemen, grab yourselves a box and follow me. So he doesn't really seem to actually listen to you or give you a chance to respond to his questions. They more seem like they're more part of something he's supposed to do than anything else. He turns around and begins to walk inside and encourages you guys to follow him.
That man really loves his beard.
He does he's have like, quite
he,
the beard.
He's a gentleman. He's like, I'm standing right here.
He obviously is not that interested in what you actually have to say and more just what he's supposed to tell you.
I think you can clearly see I'm not a man.
Well, he's addressing you as a group. So Vern follows him and he encourages you guys. Everybody follow him inside. And he explains that we're going to go inside and do a little debriefing and get the investigation underway. So this roofed area that we're going into right now is an open raised like patio area, and there is a roof over it with several columns. You also get a view of the central courtyard. Verm points out that off to our southwest is the guards' quarters, and across the garden in the center here is the second half of the Grunwald Lodge, which has the access to the stores and the kitchen and the basement area. But we won't be going out there. We're going inside. It's like a large tavern or lodge. It's like a fortified lodge. Okay, and you are now entering the Great Hall. So let me give you a description for that as we kind of work our way through the building. The manor, the Great Hall. This huge room is dominated by a great oak dining table surrounded by large wooden chairs. Ostentatious silver candlesticks are arranged on the table. Along the wall, logs crackle gently in an impressively large fireplace. A grand flight of stairs sweeps up the first floor of the manor. Around the walls, the stuffed heads of boars, wolves, deer, and boar are mounted on oak panels. Some of the trophies are of more exotic prey. A leering, ugly, green head with a crooked nose is decorated with pheasant's feathers and labeled Chieftain of the Reichwald Goblins. Further down the hall is what looks like a large goat's head, which on closer inspection bears cruel, sharp fangs. The main entrance to the manor house opens into the hall, and this extravagant chamber is the first thing to welcome visitors. And you also see that the large table appears to be getting ready to be set for dinner by a servant girl who's setting the table. And Aschaffenburg, ignoring her, begins climbing up the stairs nearby and encourages you guys, come now, upstairs, everybody, please. You know, I'm going to actually use the party icon for here, okay? Let me go grab that.
Look at the girl who's setting the table and actually check her out.
Okay. Go ahead and give her a once-over. Go ahead and do an observation check. Intelligence.
Challenge one.
Yes. I'm going to leave all your guys' tokens in here for the moment. All right. She seems... let's see. Vern Hendrick notices you checking her out, and says, "Oh, that's Hannah Drost. She's one of the our servant girls. Quiet girl, but gets her work done well enough, I suppose. I don't really have anything great to say about any of our employees
indeed.
Right now."
Quiet, indeed, and that's all I say.
You also, let's see, is there anything else on her that we should know? No, that's it. Okay, and so I'm going to move you guys up to the upstairs right now. So I'll center you over there in just a moment, because as you walk upstairs, y'all end up at...
That's not me.
Here. All right, you guys should be brought over to the upstairs.
Yay.
Let me know if everybody's there.
Yeah, no.
All right, cool. So you guys, you walk down a bit, and you enter into the first doorway here, and he brings you into the master bedroom of Lord Aschaffenburg, and you can see that there is a lot of boxes and chests, and all things like that. Like, he's barely unpacked, and there's a large fireplace in here as well. Let me read you the description for this room as well. Can't remember where some of these are. Master bedroom. The master bedroom is filled with piles of crates and boxes as Lord Aschaffenburg attempts to unpack his own wardrobe and effects and remove the previous master's remaining articles. A giant four-post bed groans under the weight of the boxes piled on it. A window looks out over the garden below and the forest surrounding the lodge. On the wall to the right of the window is a book cupboard holding all manner of old and new books. Lord Aschaffenburg turns to face you guys and says, "I assume Hendrik has filled you in with all the details? By Reynald's crossed fingers, I know there's something rather strange going on here, but I'm not sure if it's serious enough to bother the proper authorities with yet. Don't want to go upsetting the apple cart over nothing, huh? Right, well, what I would like you to do is pretend I have given you the rest of the day off. If you mention that you've been lugging around crates all day from my estate in Ubersreich, you should win folk's sympathy. Of course, what you'll really be doing is trying to uncover some clues as to what's so damned odd about this place. Meet me in the Great Hall for dinner this evening, and we'll discuss matters further after the meal. Which reminds me, which would you like for dinner? Our chef is preparing goose or venison for tonight. I recommend the venison."
Ooh, I would love goose.
"Does not matter me. I am simply here to work."
So who wanted the venison, was that?
I would like the venison.
Venison will be Sarah would like goose.
I'll go with goose. Well.
So Sarah's having the goose. And okay, and then let's see who else we got
Ode
here. Who
is
what is Ode having?
The a guy here. What's his name again? A Aschaffenburg. When he can start to work.
Mm-hmm. He says, "Well, of course, we must have the formalities in place. Vern here will let the chef know what to cook for you this evening. You've obviously been traveling a long time. Let's get this settled, and then you guys can get on your way."
"Whichever is most convenient for the cook to cook is what I will have."
"Very well. I'll have them surprise you. Anybody else? All I have is
the lady will
be having the goose."
"Abelard."
"And Avalard will also have the goose. A wonderful choice. I myself am privy to the venison, but I have much work to do, and I know now you do as well. So good day to you, gentlemen. If you need anything else, please let Vern Hendrik know. Let's see. And anything else I can do for you before you get to work?"
"Not at this time."
"Could you tell us a bit more about what we're supposed to be doing here?"
"Well, I inherited this lodge as a part of my estate about a few weeks ago, and I've just begun now moving my belongings in. All of the staff were from the previous owner, so I really don't have much information to tell you about any of them. Vern Hendrik here is my personal assistant from Ubersreich. He has not been here long. The head of the servants and the staff is Gregor Pearson. I'm sure you'll be able to find him around the lodge at some point. Otherwise, it's a rather simple place. There's a small blacksmith shop. There's a small training range in down south. There's the stables. There's the kennels with the dogs, the hunting dogs, and a nice small shrine to Sigmar. That's about all I have to tell you for now as an overview of the place. But if you have any questions, again, you know, I'm busy. Talk to Vern. He'll help you out." "Place. Well, the previous owner went missing some time ago. And, you know, as me being one of his long descendants, the property fell to me. I have been, me and my family are, of noble power in Uber's Reich, but, an opportunity to accept such a property in the Empire I couldn't pass up. So I've come out here to take my, to take the new property into our name.
Do you also have any rooms available for us to stay in?
I do. Vern, would you please, bring our guests to their rooms, please? And Vern nods, and he begins walking out towards the north end of the room and steps out into the hallway.
I have one more question.
You
before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? Mm-hmm. How many servants are there here?
Aschaffenburg taps his finger on his chin and says, "Well, employees total, I think we're somewhere around 20." Give or take a few. We have actual servants and cooks and 20, 25,
and
somewhere around there.
All of them are left over from the previous owner?
Yes, that's right. Vern and I are the newcomers.
Thank you, sir.
Intriguing.
And he says, "Close the door behind you." And you guys step out into the hallway. And Vern follows you down. He turns the corner. And he says, "These two doors we just passed on our right, those are servants' quarters." And as you round the corner, you see Gregor Pearson, a man with a, who he introduces to you as Gregor Pearson. He has a large bandage over his face and covering a large portion of his head. And he turns to you and says, "Oh, good day, gentlemen. Vern, are these the people who are coming to help out?"
See what could have caused that kind of wound.
Sure, it's covered,
well,
but
I mean,
he,
just in general,
but yeah, sure.
Ooh, that could be from a hammer or something like that. Just from the general design of.
Mm-hmm. Well, he notices you kind of eyeing his wound, and says he kind of puts his hand on it and touches it gently and says, "Oh, this was, I see you eyeing my wound. This was a result of the recent Beastman attack. Many people were wounded in that attack. You may want, do you have any first aid skills?"
"My skills are just enough to get me by."
He says, well, I would encourage you to visit the hospice down at the end of the hall. The last door on the left, that we've kind of set up a makeshift first aid shelter there for those who were wounded. Perhaps
so
you can lend some help there.
I can.
And he says, "Very well, thank you." And he says, "Is there anything else I can do?" Or Vern has brought me up to speed on what your purpose is here. If there's anything I can help with, please let me know.
Set up a bath for me. It's been a long travel.
He chuckles and says, "There's a pond outside, just south of the manor. You'll be happy to wash up there if you like." He smiles and says, "No,
I'll pass."
And then he says, "If you'll excuse me, I have some things to attend to." And he turns and begins walking down the hall. Vern guides you down to the next door on your left, on your left. And he opens up the door and brings you into brings you into the guest room. And in there, there's a small servant girl who is quietly making the beds. And you startle her as you come in. She says, Oh, I'm sorry, sir." And she ducks her head and then, finishes folding the sheets and very quickly scurries out of the room and heads down the hall.
I check her out again as she's leaving the room. I do check her out. I got one success with a chaos star.
She appears to be about probably 14, and she seems very quiet. And she seems that in the presence of the authority, Vern Hendrick, she kind of knows her place, that she is not meant to be working when guests are
so
around. They're not meant to see her.
Older than, slightly younger than myself.
Mm-hmm. And so Vern says, "Well, here's where you'll be able to put your belongings and get yourself settled. I'll be happy to, again, answer any questions you have, but I have some other duties I need to attend to while we, while we're here at the lodge. And what I'd like to do is have you gentlemen begin your investigation, see what you can find. Something just doesn't add up here. The staff are not what they seem to be, or maybe they are, and we're just worrisome people from outsiders. We're Lord of Schaffenberg and myself are, we come from the city. We're not used to these rural, expeditions. And I'd like an update this afternoon. Perhaps you can talk to me before you talk to a Schaffenberg.
Excuse me, though. I did take some injuries during the combat outside. I would like to go down to the infirmary and try and get those patched up and as well start my investigations there, if you do not mind.
Oh, he says, very well. That's an excellent place to start. You'll be able to meet Dr. Stefan Seeger and his assistant, Sister Sanja. They'll be able to help you down there.
Thank you.
It's two doors down on your left.
Oh, no, I'll...
All right, he says, good day, gentlemen. If there's anything else, you'll be able to find me. And he heads out of the room and takes off.
Not at all.
All right, that about wraps it up for this chapter of An Eye for an Eye. We will be back soon with the second installment. As always, you can submit written and audio questions and comments to recklessdice@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @recklessdice. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes, and visit us at www.recklessdice.rorschach.net for the most up-to-date news on the podcast. Take care.